Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. Great set of some pieces I have not heard in quite a while. So I had some great memories of that as well. And I hope that we continue to teach all of our young people and all of us some of the great hymns of our faith while we sing some brand new things, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I want to welcome a group over here. Some of these are our normal GBC students, but a number of them are visiting us today. They're part of GCA Winter Sports. And so when I call you guys team, and your coaches, I want y'all to stand. We have four of them represented here with us. We've got our women's basketball team with head coaches Neek and Ange. You ladies stand up for us. They've had a fabulous year. Good to have y'all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so proud of you girls and grateful for you. And under our head coach, Marcus Dillegard, one of our newest deacons, our men's basketball team. Guys, stand up. Glad you're here. Hey, Cam, come here. This is Cam. I'm gonna pick on him for a minute. This is a Matt Mercer's boy, but Cam just broke a very special record for any high school player in his high school career, and he had an injury season, so this is a big deal. He's just broken the 1,000-point record here, so congrats, buddy. Proud of you, man, proud of you. Proud of you guys, you're doing a great job. Let's acknowledge our wrestling guys here with Coach Ron Comfort. Wrestlers, are you guys back there? Yeah, big boys back here. Big Will. Hey, man, I tried it for a season. I'm more of a lover than a fighter. I'm gonna just tell y'all, I went back to baseball, man. Wrestling's hard. Coach, you do a fabulous job, sir. You have raised up some great young men. We are proud of you boys, and listen, keep busting heads in Jesus' name, guys. We love y'all. Swimming, here we go. Head coach Chris Knapper. We're our swimmers right here. Yeah. Come on. Proud of you guys. Hey, you know, I had a swimmer in my last church. You might have heard of him, Caleb Dressel. He was in our last church. If y'all have not heard of Caleb, check out the Olympics. He's a pretty fast dude. We're proud of you guys. Keep swimming for the Lord. God bless you. Give a big welcome to all these GCA kids and their coaches. If you missed our business conference, I cannot describe to you just how pleased I was with the Spirit of the Lord moving here. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. Later, we'll probably cut some videos and talk about this in more detail. But the body of believers, and it was a huge business conference, voted unanimously for two big changes. The first is the addition of a campus east of here in the heart of Lonsdale, the old Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church. In fact, it's not even that old. Their worship center was rebuilt in 2014. We are being gifted that entire campus. We're going to have Hispanic congregations there. We're going to have a Congolese congregation there. We're going to do a lot of work at that campus. It will be an outreach post that will be busy every day of the week and on the weekends with international campuses and ministries. We were going to call it, you know, it's over in the heart of Lonsdale, so it's in a great community of need there, and we were going to call it the Grace Local Outreach Center of Knoxville. But then when we put the acronym up, it said GLOCK. So we said, that's really not a good idea. And so, you know, as much as I love the brand, it's just going to be our Grace Outreach Center. So we're going to put some congregations there. It's a wonderful gift. We're going to use it to spread the gospel east. Then if you look to the west of us, because God's hand is so great upon us, y'all, in 3 months, not including the six today, in 3 months, we've baptized 108 precious people here at Grace Baptist Church. That's pretty astounding in 3 months. Now, we see God's hand moving us also to the west, northwest, out in our community known as Oak Ridge, the secret city. Central Baptist Oak Ridge has been having some challenges for a number of years. We've been talking to them and praying with them for closer to five and a half years. They have been willing to come along, surrender all of their campus, their assets. They have no debt. They have a 75,000 square foot facility, 6 acres straight across the street from Oak Ridge High School. If they approve it Sunday night, you unanimously approved it this past Wednesday. If they approve it next Sunday, they will become Grace Baptist Church, Oak Ridge. One family, one church, two locations. The goal would be health, strength, fiscal solvency, and in 5 to 10 years, I'd like to see them become autonomous again. I have no desire to build a kingdom other than the kingdom of God. I have no desire to build Grace as a brand. If I want people to know any name, it is the name of Jesus Christ. So we are coming. Yeah, you can give God glory for that. Listen, Pastor Barry Silver said something to me in one of the first meetings about this, and he said, well, Pastor, back in the day, if somebody's barn burned down, you just got your tools, you got your lumber, and you went to your neighbor, and you rebuilt. No strings attached. We've had brothers and sisters just to the west, northwest of us who have had a tough season. It's been a long season of challenge, but they have been open-handed and open-hearted, willing to come alongside. They would become full members of Grace Baptist Church through the exact same processes you would become a member post-August of 2020. That is the Life at Grace process, the individual counseling. So God may be doing that. That would be an instant tick of about 150 more people. We would have campus involvement east. We would have it west. And the lighthouse known as Grace continues to expand. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for serving. And isn't God good to reach our neighbors and to reach the nations from little old Carnes, Tennessee? So this will become Grace Baptist Church Knoxville. It'll be known as Grace Baptist Knoxville. And if that is approved after due diligence and their business conference, in the coming months, you will see new graphics, new labels, new everything through the web, through the app, through the online portals, Grace Baptist Church, Oak Ridge. All right, so thank you again for being here. I hope you're finding your way in your Bible to the book of Colossians. Open it up, click it or swipe it, get there with me. And remember, this series is called In Christ Alone. And I love that song. It's one of those newer songs that sounds like an old hymn. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. What a great song. And I'm choosing a verse out of every chapter for us to memorize. In this first chapter, we're memorizing verse 19. So I'm gonna put it on the screen, and I'd like for you to say it with me. After we say it a time or two, we'll put some blanks in it, but we wanna hide God's word in our heart. We wanna trust that when we see Jesus, we see God. So let's say this together. You ready? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. What does that mean? It pleased God the Father, the first member of the triune Godhead, that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness, all the deity of God would dwell. If you see Jesus, you see God. I promise you before you leave today, you're gonna hear that point articulated and illustrated in multiple ways. It pleased the Father that in him, all the fullness should dwell. Let's put some blanks in it. Let's say it again. You ready? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Very, very good. Okay, last week, powerful prayers for a changing church. I told you we were changing. I told you things were happening. You have affirmed that. We pray for others in affirmation to do what God wants in God's way, in God's time, for God's glory. And I said, church, let's pray for growth in our godly wisdom. Let's pray for growth in our godly walk. Let's pray for growth in our godly gratitude. Remember what wisdom is. It's the proper application of knowledge. When we're praying for God's wisdom, what do we know? Knowledge tells us this. A tomato is technically a fruit. Wisdom tells us this. Don't put it in your fruit salad. You remember that? And so we're gonna properly apply the knowledge God has given us. Now I'm gonna do something. I wanna see if any of you guys have heard of this, because I'll be curious. Any of you guys ever heard of a game show called To Tell the Truth? Any of y'all? Yeah, Brian, you've heard of it. Come on, man. Don't act like you a child up among these people. How many of y'all have heard of a game show, To Tell the Truth? Okay, it was an old game show from 1956. It got rebranded. It got relaunched a few years ago. I don't think the rebrand ever caught on completely. Let me explain it to you. It actually had celebrity panel, and they would question three guests. One of the guests would have had a very interesting or different occupation or maybe an experience that would be really unusual. And so two of the guests would pretend. They were imposters. They would lie and they would make up stuff. And so the celebrity panel would question the contestants. They were trying to find out who's telling the truth, because the real person had to always answer the questions truthfully. And I loved that old game show. I don't know why. Of course, I wasn't around in the 50s or 60s, but because of the game show network, I could watch the old reruns and the syndicated shows of that. And so at the end, every panel, the celebrity panel would guess. I think it's contestant number one or two or three. And then the host would say this question: would the real such and such please stand up? And if you've ever seen the show, you know that they'd start playing games. And like one of the imposters would sort of stand and they'd go, oh, and then he'd sit back down. And then another imposter would kind of, oh, and then the real guy or gal would eventually pop up and they would clap and there would be, I guess, prizes, or I don't remember how it ended, but they would say, oh, okay. Now, looking back as your pastor, I admit it's a little strange that I loved a game show all about lying, okay? I confess to you, that's a little weird, but here's what the Apostle Paul is doing. 2,000 years ago, there were a ton of imposters. A lot of people either claiming to be a Messiah, a chosen one, or claiming they had special knowledge about Jesus. They were spouting all kinds of heretical lies, and Paul was saying, whoa, 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 stop. I was one of those guys too. But today, as I write you, saints of Colossae, as I speak to you, people of grace, will the real Jesus please stand up? I don't want you to be fooled. I don't want you to be led off track. And so that idea, will the real Jesus please stand up, I have shortened to this title today, just the real Jesus. Because I do not want you to get sidetracked. I personally do not want to be fooled by the teachings of the world that contradict the teachings of the Word. And so from the Word of God, how do we see, how do we have a relationship with, how do we walk with the real Jesus? That is our focus. That is what we do starting now. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll just read a few verses, 15 to 18. Colossians 1, 15 to 18. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Lord, as we bow before you and we have heard your word, so we have heard your voice, I pray today that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts receptive to your truth, and that if there's someone here that doesn't yet trust the real Jesus, today would be the day of their salvation. If there's somebody where Jesus is kind of off to the side for them, today would be the day where his lordship is made manifest. If there's somebody here today that's walking lockstep, tight with Christ, then they would have a grateful heart, for they know that the littlest of things can separate us at times from our Savior. And so speak to every heart in every situation and every station, and I pray, Lord, that we would put front and center the real Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me give you a couple of foundational truths today about this real Jesus, and then I'll give you some information underneath. If you have an outline, start here. Number one, the real Jesus is the omnipotent creator. When you hear any omni, so omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent, etc., omni means all, omni. Okay? When you put potent behind it, it means powerful. So what I'm telling you here, number one, is that the real Jesus is the all-powerful creator. It's very important to know that. Before we really dig into 15 and 16, let me help you understand what the false narratives were 2,000 years ago when Paul was writing this letter. Most of the false narratives had to do with the minimizing of Jesus. The people around Paul's day thought Jesus may have been important, but he wasn't essential. They may have given him a place in their lives without recognizing that Jesus demands first place. He was prominent to them, but certainly not preeminent. Now let me explain the terms. Look at this phrase. It's a question, really. In your life, is Jesus peripheral? What does that mean? On the outskirts, on the edge, peripheral. Okay? Is he prominent? That means a place of significance or important, but not necessarily the top. Or is Jesus preeminent? Preeminence means, number one, There is no other thing higher. No one is higher. No one is greater. He is in absolute first place. Where is Christ for you? Now, if you're not a Christian, he has no place at all. If you're not a Christian, Jesus isn't part of your life, your worldview. Maybe you're on a journey to discover the real Jesus. But for right now, let's say for those of us that claim Christ, for some of us, like my season of life, let me give you my journey. My journey, 14 to 16, I would say, somewhere in there, as I was really growing in my faith, Jesus would have probably been for me preeminent. For a season after that, and work and leaving home, he probably became more peripheral. Still my Savior, but he really didn't have full lordship at that time because I walked in a lot of disobedience. As I met that pretty dark-haired girl at the College of William and Mary Choir, and Jesus was preeminent for her, I started coming back, and Jesus moved from the periphery to have a place of prominence, and then eventually he would have preeminence again where he rightly belongs. And sometimes in my life, there have been seasons. I'm not going to try to tell you standing here that just because I'm a pastor, I always get this right. In fact, I probably get it wrong more than right. But the false teachers taught a couple of key errors, a couple of key falsehoods. They taught that, number one, God did not create the world because in their view, matter was evil. So anything physical was evil. Spiritual was okay, but physical was not okay. So God couldn't create the world. Jesus certainly didn't create the world. They were wrong. Believing matter was evil, then they said, there's no way God himself, the perfect creator, could come to earth in a human body. There's no way he would be clothed in flesh because how could someone perfect and holy occupy sinful matter? And so they believed Jesus was a son of God. They did not believe that Jesus was God. And they thought Jesus was one of many intermediaries between God and people. And so when we look at 15 and 16, I want us to reread it. What does the Bible say about this? 15, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, both the visible and the invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things, Paul repeats, all things were created through him and for him. Now, what is that saying? Let me break it apart. You ready? Letter A. The real Jesus is God. Let's be clear. Let's be clear, church. When we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about God. We're not talking about a good moral teacher. How could a good moral teacher say, I am God, and be a liar? He wouldn't be good, and he certainly wouldn't be moral. And so Jesus is God. Now, Paul does not mince any words here. He says he's the image of the invisible God. Image conveys that which beyond words can describe. So let me look at some images. Watch this. This one right here. This ring, just an image, a symbol, if you will, an icon of the reality. That wedding band says he has entered a covenant with one lady. That's what it means to me. But it doesn't make me a married man. There is a statue. She holds high a flame. If you've ever been to her close by Ellis Island, you know there's something powerful about Lady Liberty. There's something powerful about the Statue of Liberty. We wave around this campus banners, flags, if you will, 13 stripes, some red, some white, a blue box with 50 stars, at least 50 for now. And so we give honor to that. And if you've never seen one folded properly, if you've never seen one handed to the widow of a serviceman, like the flag over my father's coffin, handed to my mother, it's a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful image because we understand the symbolism. No, the flag is not America. No, Lady Liberty is not America, but they are icons. And you say, well, then wait a minute. Maybe Jesus is just an icon. Maybe he doesn't represent. No. Now we're talking icon in 21st century America. The Greek word, which is the exact word used here, spelled a little different. If I take the Greek letters and spell them in English, it would be E-I-K-O-N, but still icon. When the Bible says here in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the Greek use of icon was different. The Greek use of icon had to do with an exact stamp, if you will. That which represents and manifests, Jesus would say it like this. No one has seen God. John would say it like this about Jesus. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he, meaning he alone, has declared him. Declared him means made him known, exegeted him to us. And this is really cool. Listen to John 14, 9. Listen to what Jesus says about himself. Now, don't you tell me he's a good teacher, but he's not God. Jesus said this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What? What, Jesus? Jesus said, look, I'm not just some secondary icon. I am God in flesh. In fact, Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he is the image of God. Some have said Jesus is God with skin on. Okay, but the reality is he's more than that. He doesn't just have like this human coat. He's not just robed in humanity where he's only appearing to be human. Jesus is 100% human, 100% man, and simultaneously 100% God. He is all of both. And you say, but I can't get my little mind around that. Well, good. Do you want a God that's so simple and small that we can get our little minds around him? No. You want a great big God. Not only is he God the Father and God the Son, he is God the Spirit, which is holy. He is the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Now, look at the next phrase. The real Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. What in the world? See, Jesus is not only God, he's firstborn over all creation. Let me tell you how some cults have misrepresented that statement. Jehovah's Witnesses believe this verse teaches that Jesus was created and therefore not God. But again, we're using firstborn through a 21st century lens, or in their case, a 20th century lens. The word does not mean that in its day. In its day, it meant not chronological order, but honorific title. Firstborn in the day Paul would have used it meant he is of supreme importance. Before anything else was, he was. Before anything came to be, like God the Father and God the Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, has always been because he is God. So it's not a ranking so much as it is an acknowledgement of honor. How do I know that? Well, let her see. The real Jesus is the uncreated creator. Did you see it? For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. We're talking about thrones. We're talking about powers. We're talking about dominions. We're talking about principalities. Everything was created by this one Jesus, the uncreated creator. You say, well, how can that be? There had to be something in the beginning. There was. In the beginning, God. Y'all read that before? There was something in the beginning, specifically someone. In the beginning, God. You say, well, what was before God? That's what makes him God. I know. I know. But you say, no, 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 Pastor. No, that's right. I read my science book. It's the Big Bang. There's a little ball of mass. And boom. Okay, then where did that come from? Hello? See, you're going to get back to my Genesis series, the problem of infinite regress. Where did that come from? And then where did that come? I believe in the Big Bang. God said it, bang, it happened. That's it, right? We know that God got it going, and I don't believe he had a ball of mass. The Bible teaches actually ex nihilo creation, out of nothing. God spoke, and it was. You say, how is that possible? He is God. If you can get past the first three words of the Hebrew Bible, the first five words of the English Bible, Barashith bara Elohim, or in the beginning God created. If you can get past that, this Colossians stuff is easy. If God indeed created all that is, the uncreated creator of all things we see and all the spiritual realm we don't see. See, the false teacher said matter is evil. Spiritual is good. That is not true. When God created this world by his word, he declared it good, 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 good. Day six, very good. Matter is not evil, and spirit is not necessarily good. God-infused matter and spirit is good. Matter and spirit without God is bad. We define bad by the absence of good in the same way we define darkness by the absence of light. You see, the reality is, John 1:3 says it perfectly, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Some of the false teachers in and around Colossae were given prominence to angels. They were saying, well, even Jesus had to bow at the feet of some of the supreme angelic beings like Michael or Gabriel. False, not true. Even the angelic beings are subject to Christ. Folks, look, there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day. I would suggest that you make that day this day if you've not already bowed the knee to God. But every being in heaven and earth and below the earth will understand that Christ is Lord and Savior because, D, the real Jesus provides purpose for his creation, purpose. You might even say it this way, Jesus is the purpose of his creation. I want to address some of our students, and I know we have students spread throughout, but for you guys, I can promise you at your age, especially because I moved out at 16 and was singing and doing some stuff, and I'm just going to tell you guys, I really wanted to know that my life would count. And I have a feeling, you guys, because I know the quality of kids here at GCA, I know each one of you wants your life to count for something beyond. You want a bigger purpose. You want to know, how am I gonna contribute and how will there be a significance from my life to this world? And I'm gonna tell you right now, if you take Jesus out of the equation or if you don't have him at all, you will wonder for the rest of your life, where is your purpose? If Jesus Christ becomes front and center, not peripheral, not just prominent, but preeminent, I'm telling you, he will set a path before you and you will find your purpose because all your days were written in his book before you lived one of them. Did you know that Jesus Christ knew you would be sitting at Grace Baptist Church Sunday morning, February the 9th, 2025? He knew. He knew you would be here. He knew you would be listening to this message just like he did for all of you. And if you take Jesus out of the equation, the purpose of life begins to dissolve quite quickly because you think, look at how small I am, how insignificant I may be. How could my life matter? I'm gonna tell you right now, if Jesus is front and center, it will matter. He's gonna use you in ways you can't possibly even imagine. And I don't necessarily mean from a pulpit, but wherever he takes you, if he's first, he is the purpose of creation. In fact, Revelation 4:11 in the New Living Translation says, for he created everything, and it is for his pleasure that they exist and are created. I believe my life is for one reason, to put a smile on God's face, to make my God happy with me, not just because I want him to pat me on the back, but I want him to say, Bobby, I'm pleased in the way you live your life as a husband. Bobby, I'm pleased with the way you've chosen to live your life as a father, a grandfather, a pastor, a friend. Bobby, I'm pleased with you so that when I stand before my maker one day, I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, so I'm gonna make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Guys, the way you do that, don't bury your blessing. Don't hide your talent. When you swim, swim to the glory of God. When you play hoops, do it to the glory of God. When you wrestle and pin that dude, do it to the glory of God. Ladies, when you're out there on the court, do it to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the what? Glory of God. That's why I like busting heads in Jesus' name. Make a t-shirt, it'll sell. Look, here's the thing. We run in such a way, we compete in such a way as to win. That's straight from the pen of the Apostle Paul. You see, friends, there's a cancer today. The cancer seems to say that faith is really just about prosperity and practicality. We really want to rub God the right way as a cosmic genie and get what we want, relationally, financially, and in many ways. But the Bible tells us to repent, to submit, to acknowledge the supremacy of Christ. God doesn't want you to just have a happy life. He wants you to have a holy life. He doesn't just want you to have a stress-free life. He wants to be your refuge and shield, your tower, your stronghold, your fortress. He wants to tuck you in as a great bird would her babies and say, I am your strength and your shield. Trust me along the way. We don't add Jesus to our life. We live in light of his lordship because Jesus is not just a God. Jesus is not just a way. Jesus is God, fully man, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the omniscient, omnipotent creator who is sovereign over everyone and everything. You know, UPS used to have a slogan, what can Brown do for you? And sometimes we come to the church or we come to faith and we say, well, what can Jesus do for me? Listen, he's already done everything for you. He's already been to the cross. He's already paid the price for your sins. Have you applied his gift to your account by faith? He's already done everything you need for life and godliness. He has laid the trajectory, the track of your life. And like a well-oiled train, if you will stay on the track God has laid for you, you will find purpose and significance and joy and yes, at times challenges and tears and pain, but God will be there guiding and guarding through every up and down and layer of life. This is the way we do it as children of God. Be giving him your life. He gave it to you first. Have you given him your gifts? He gave them to you first. Have you given him your time? Every second you have is a gift from his hand. Have you given him your job, your studies, your friendships, maybe your marriage, your children, your life? Jesus, the real Jesus, is the omnipotent creator. If you have it, he gave it to you. Second and finally, the real Jesus is the omniscient sustainer. If omnipotent means all powerful, omniscience means all knowing, omniscient. He's the all-knowing sustainer. See, there was a group of heretics, some of which actually helped found our country. A few were mixed in. They were called deists. They said that God made the world as a great watch. And then as the great watchmaker, he wound it up and he put his hands off. Deism says God is watching, but he is uninvolved. He lets the watch of the world wind down. Not true. The God of the Bible, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created the creation. He sustains his creation. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He holds all things together. You know, the true church continues to be under attack, and sometimes they try to divide and conquer the church. But the Bible says Jesus holds it all together. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 8:58, most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus said, I've always been around, I've always taken care of things, and if you'll just surrender and trust me, I'll take care of you. He holds it all together. So I've written it like this. Jesus is not only the creator of the world, he is the cohesion that keeps it all together. By him everything came to be, and by him everything continues to be. Hebrews 1:3 again reminds us he holds it together by his powerful word. If Jesus turned away from the universe for one split second, all of it dissolves away. All of it is gone. All of it decays. All of it destroyed. Jesus holds it together. You know, let me tell you like this. I've heard this kind of statement my whole life, and I've heard it in variant forms, but something like this. Just about anyone can father a child, but it takes a real man to be a dad. Y'all know what that means. Biologically, just about anyone could make a baby. If their physiology is right and everything's working as should, just about anybody could make a baby. It takes something different to be a dad. It takes something different to be a mom. There is an involvement there. And so not only does the Bible speak about God as our heavenly Father, did you know this? It speaks about God as our Abba. Abba, Aramaic, daddy. Our daddy. Relational concepts, folks. It's like this. God blessed us with four kids, right? Now, back in the day when we were having children, we did not do gender reveals. Is this new? It's got to be a social media thing, right? It's got to be new. This whole gender reveal craziness, it's insane. Just like y'all getting all your photographers ready for when you get on one knee, dudes. That's weird. I love y'all. And I love Gen Z. I think they're a fabulous generation. I love millennials. I think y'all are weird. Of course, we know Gen X. Y'all just forgot about us, okay, Boomer? And so here's the deal. You know, this whole gender thing, we were blessed. We didn't find out for Heather, actually, but for the others. So we have a girl, right? And then we're blessed. We see the ultrasound thing, and there's whatever little things they're looking for, and there's a girl. And then number three, we just came to know there's going to be a girl. So there's Holly, and then there's Hannah, right? And then we said, well, one more roll at it. And there was a boy. And we're blessed beyond measure with our four children. And I've messed up 1,000 ways from Sunday, but at least I've tried to be involved in the lives of our children. And we're blessed that all of our children are part of this community and the Grace family. And now Heather has Parker and Holly has Garrett. And of course, Heather and Parker have given us Lucy and Sophia, these precious little girls. We had a lot of pink around the house anyway. Come on, two more won't hurt. And now Holly and Garrett yesterday bring about 40 people into our home, and they have these big fancy fire extinguishers full of blue powder or pink powder. Do y'all understand which gender is for which? Did we get that clear in our nation now? Okay, and so they go into the backyard and all of us are on the patio and we're watching, you know, and then their buddies are out there and they got their extinguishers because this has got to be a big deal, y'all. This is important. I mean, come on. And so they, and a bunch of blue powder shines out over our backyard and they're thrilled. And now we have little Alistair J on the way. He was on the praise team this morning. He was on the far end, kind of pawned out under Holly's, so he was up there, right? Because we believe our kids should be in church 9 months before they're born. And so we are so thrilled for them. Little AJ, I got to remember to get his lifetime hunting license and his first fishing rod. Y'all remind me about that. But you can give them a hand. That's good. They congratulate the newlyweds. Oh, Garrett's in the hall. Not newlyweds. You've been married a long time. New parents. Garrett's being a shepherd today. Oh, well, you can tell him we talked about him, okay? So I'm starting to like him a little more with this grandboy coming. So anyway, now Hannah, our third, who just graduated a few years ago from GCA and is studying kind of some medical stuff at UT, she and Spencer, I'd like you to pray for Spencer, please, her fiance's grandpa. He was very close to him. He went home to be with Jesus last night through the night. So if you could remember the Moody family, we would appreciate it from our family to yours. I remember what it was like to lose my grandfather and then another grandfather. It was a hard time, first close loss of my life. And so we pray for him, but God has this special guy with Hannah. And the reality is, you could be the biological parent, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're all in. That doesn't necessarily mean you're engaged. I want to remind you about something when it comes to Christianity. You have a father, whether you acknowledge him or not. You have a heavenly father who created you in his image according to his likeness. But that same father really does want a relationship with you in the same way that I love it. I mean, love it when we have Lucy and Sophia and now little Alistair J, little AJ coming around. And I tell you what else I love, maybe more than that, the picture of mommy and daddy's taillights when they're taking them back home. It is an incredible sight. Grandparents, can I get a whoop whoop? Okay, you know what I'm saying. It's amazing. It is beautiful because I don't do diapers anymore ever. And you say, yeah, but it's going to be a little boy. I'm not getting tinkled on ever again in my life because I'm a G-paw and I don't have to. But it's beautiful that our Father wants to be involved. And let's be honest, our messy, messy lives sometimes. I mean, you think it's just babies that wet themselves and kick and cry. I've kicked and cried my fair share of times. But see, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He came set on the mission. He goes all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane where he would agonize and his sweat drops would become his blood. He surrenders and says, nevertheless, not my will but thine, because Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be co-eternal with God the Father, but eternally subordinate to God the Father. Big stuff. He's always been with God, but he chose to come and he chose to be the perfect sacrifice. And then by the power of God, after really dying in our place, after really paying the price for our sin, God by his power raised Christ back to life the third day. And we discovered that the grave and hell and death would not have the final say. God said, I accept his sacrifice on your behalf and I desire this reconciled relationship with you. And I want you now to grow up into the head of the church, Jesus Christ. For I will never be the head of grace. I will never be the head of grace in Knoxville, Oak Ridge, Lonsdale. Christ and Christ alone is the head of this and all true churches. Jesus is the head. Christ and Christ alone is the omnipotent, omniscient one. And the Bible says in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, meaning that he came back. God accepted his sacrifice. And because of all of these things, because of everything, he created it. He sustains it. He's in and through and he's over all of it. He is the grand purpose. His glory is the grand purpose of why we even exist. And because of all of it, what does the Bible say? He will have the preeminence. He will not sit in the second chair. For those of us from Grace, we saw a number of you that were blessed by Andrea Bocelli last night. I love the fact that when Bocelli goes somewhere, he uses the local players, the local singers, the Knoxville Symphony, Knoxville Chorale. I thought that was fabulous. But you know, if you know anything at all about an orchestra, you know there's first chair. And you know what first chair means. It means they have demonstrated excellence. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is going to be first chair, or he's gonna occupy no chair. He's gonna have preeminence in your life or no place in your life. And just so this translates to you, preeminence means he is supreme, totally superior, number one. I'm learning a little Spanish, numero uno, that is Jesus. He is first place. He will never, never settle for second. Let me close. The real Jesus is omnipotent creator. The real Jesus is omniscient sustainer. The question is he your personal savior? I think if you've been here at Grace any length of time at all, you know how I feel about that beautiful dark-haired girl that stood right over here this morning and sparkles every time the camera's on her. You know that when she's on the screen, ratings go through the roof. It's a beautiful thing what God does. And over 30 years ago, God brought this gal into my life, and this week, on Valentine's Day, my sweetie, the one who in human terms is preeminent to me. My children are prominent. Well, no, let me take that back. My grandchildren are prominent. My children are peripheral, but she is preeminent. Let me just be clear. I'm just gonna be honest. I'm telling you the truth. I love them all, but we have an order. She is celebrating a birthday on Valentine's Day. She's a Valentine's baby. And so we're gonna celebrate Miss Cindy, and I'm not gonna tell you the exact year. I'll simply say that I went to the mailbox Friday, Saturday morning, I can't remember, but I got out this horrible envelope that had a horrible acronym on it. And it had my sweetheart's name, and I didn't wanna take it in the house, but I think it's illegal to take somebody else's mail. And so I sort of walked in like this, and said A-A-R, and then I ran to the bedroom and locked the door. Now look, truth is she is hitting a new decade. My sweetie is 40, give or take a decade. I'm just gonna tell y'all that. She doesn't look it, of course. She sparkles greater than ever before. But here's the deal. I really do want you to hear this. I have something very special planned later in this series. I have something special for our husband, so I don't wanna get too far ahead of myself. But I want people to know. I meant it when I stood before God and our family, 150 of our closest friends, because that's all the chapel would hold. Let's show it. Look how much hair I had. Can you believe that? It's 19 years old. And when I saw the most spectacular beauty of my life walk down that aisle looking, I mean, coming to Shrek after all. I mean, she's gonna take my hand and she's gonna say yes to me. And we were in that 300-year-old chapel in front of our family and friends. Yes, we were young, and yes, we had a lot to learn, and yes, we've had fights and challenges, and we've eaten a lot of spaghetti in the early days, my goodness, on our folding card table. But you know what? I wouldn't trade one day. And when you get to be with somebody for more of your life than you're without them, you really come to know what this person's about. And it doesn't mean it's perfect. Don't mishear me. But it means if you know anything about me as your pastor, if you know anything about me, you know where this woman ranks for me. And don't you mess with that. Because part of the story some of you may not have heard is that I was pretty far from God. And yet, because of the place of preeminence Christ occupied in her life, God used her to bring me back. My mother said the first time they ever really met for any length of time, that Christmas before we would be married, my mother said, "Now, son, that's the kind of girl you need to marry. Listen to your mamas." And I tell you that because God himself, through the pen of Paul, said, I want you to see marriage in this way. As a husband is head of his wife, and that means in a beautiful spiritual leadership capacity, by the way, and as he serves and sacrifices his love to her, she gives honor and respect and a type of love back to him where there's really a mutual submission now. And that picture is Christ and the church. And in the same way that I would argue that she's number one, man, I don't care if it's birthday week or not. I don't care if it's Valentine's Day or not. I don't need a holiday to tell me who's first. You say, well, Jesus should be first. No, remember, it's Christ is preeminent in all things. Christ is preeminent in the marriage, in the parenting, in the pastoring, etc. But if Jesus for you does not yet occupy that place of preeminence, if Jesus for you, and the thing is, I think by 6 years into this thing, you know this, because that which is most dear to your heart is much on your lips. So how would that be for you when it comes to Christ? Maybe you've thought you could add him to your life without bowing before his all-encompassing authority. I would encourage you to surrender completely today. Maybe baptism, maybe joining the church family or a church family if you're in another area. Maybe just surrendering to Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe that is your next step. Why would you wait? When I looked back on that day in that chapel with that unbelievably beautiful young thing coming toward me, I realized this is the path God has for me. And it's a glorious path, challenging at times, of course, but glorious nonetheless. Why wouldn't you surrender today to the one who made you, the one who sustains you, and the one who wants to be with you forever? This is the real Jesus. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, my prayer today is that if there's someone here that's never surrendered to Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would put their yes on the table, that they would come to him and say, yes, I want to know him personally. Yes, I want to surrender to him. Yes, I understand he has made me. Yes, I understand he has ordained my days and set them up even when I was being knit in my mother's womb. Yes, I want a relationship with Jesus. May those be the first that come to take a pastor or counselor by the hand and nail it down today. Others, if they're honest, maybe Christ is on the periphery of their life. For some, maybe even Christ is prominent. But today they want the real Jesus to be preeminent. They understand the place he should occupy. And so let them come and bow before you at this holy altar and say, Jesus, take the wheel. Get me out of the driver's seat if you have to, stuff me in the trunk. But I trust you to guide me and to guard me, to take me where you want me to be. Maybe they need to come today for a fresh surrender, for a reprioritizing of their life. God, whatever the case, in these final minutes we have, move us. Lord, physically move us, spiritually move us, relationally move us to respond to your invitation for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. Would you come?
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.